Okay, we've got three members of Adelaide Plains Chapter and Verse Group to do our podcast. We're all here. It's all happening. We've got me, the president, Caroline Corden. We have
Marilyn, valued member.
And Jeanette.
Also, very, very valued member. Okie dokie. So the news, our news, we've had Poets at the pub, which was wonderful. And we had a workshop in the morning, which was also pretty damned fun, if I may say so. A first time presenter of workshops. And Lucy did a grand job talking about writing picture books. And she had lots and lots of really useful information. And I was kind of there doing the workshop too, but, you know, I was there in support. But also I did some stuff. But Lucy was so knowledgeable that she said all the things that I was going to say.
I'm really glad she's got that out, because she was talking about it during the Writers Festival.
It's a gorgeous book. It really is a beautiful little book. She's done good. We're doing lots of wonderful things with PBA Radio. Yeah. I wasn't there last time. Yes, I was. I wasn't present when the guest speaker was taped because it didn't happen on the day, but I've heard that interview now, and a very, very, very useful, wonderful person. Suzanne Rogers is her name. She's got a new book coming out very, very soon. And if you know anything about child sexual abuse, it will really speak to you. She's not the only victim. There are many, many, many of us. Okay, and
I've got some other literary news, just in anniversaries for November. But writers' birthdays, Bram Stoker, Dostoevsky, R.L. Stevenson, C.S. Lewis and Mark Twain had birthdays in November.
Okay. November's one of those crazy months,
Deaths. Dylan Thomas, Leo Tolstoy, C.S. Lewis, who died a couple of days before his birthday. Roald Dahl, Oscar Wilde. And on that note, in this last month, two writers have died, both in their 90s.
Oh, that's okay.
Stan Lee, who wrote comics for Marvel and created a lot of the really iconic Marvel comic characters, and was also had bit parts in a lot of the films that were made, adaptations.
He didn't mind being on film.
No, he's quite a character, huh? And the other writer, William Golding, wrote William Golding. He is probably better known for his screenplays. He wrote a lot of famous screenplays, but he also wrote novels. And Princess Bride, and if you know the film Princess Bride, that's the film that I
Those who have daughters probably know about that one, but we have sons.
No, absolutely not. No. It's not a girl's film. No, it's definitely not a gender-specific film. And in fact, the boys love it. It was one of their favourite films. One of the first films Angus showed Gypsy when he started going out with her. No, Princess Bride is not a girly.
I don't think Jake's ever seen
it. It involves pirates and sword fights. It has one of the most amazing sword fighting scenes ever, and revenge and murder and
all the good
kidnapping.
Things in life,
and true love.
Of course.
And it's told from a grandfather reading the book to his grandson who's sick in bed.
Okay.
So it's framed by the grandfather reading the story to his grandson. And it starts off with the grandson saying, no, I don't want to hear the story with kissing in it. What are you reading to me, granddad? And the boy gets completely caught up in the story. And then at the end he says, can you come back and read it to me again tomorrow? But it is a fantastic film. And that originally was a book. So he wrote the novel first and then later adapted. Did it for screen.
Sounds good.
And in Margaret Atwood has announced she's writing a sequel for The Handmaid's Tale.
Margaret.
A book that came out this month, which I was excited about, Sean Tan. It's a sort of children's adult picture book.
Yep.
His latest book, Cicada's, just come out, and I really would love to buy that. I love Sean Tan's work.
It's beautiful, yes.
Yes, it is in every respect.
And such an intelligent person.
Yes. And they're really
And he cares, deeply cares about our entire world.
He does.
Our planet.
Yes.
And there are not enough of us who care enough about our planet.
No. So I've seen images from the artwork and it's just beautiful. He's a fantastic artist, but he tells really meaningful stories as well. So, yes, that's the news, all the literary news for today.
That was the literary news. And now we're going to have a poet or writer discussion about books that we've been looking at, reading, wanting to read, whatever.
Well, Christmas coming up.
Christmas coming
books,
up. Yep.
So gifts.
Why not?
Gifts that we're giving or gifts that we're receiving.
Giving gifts to myself.
Yes.
Last night I went to a book launch, and the book is from the Citizen Advocacy Group, Citizen Advocacy SA, and the book is Transforming Vulnerable Lives. And I've got a special interest in vulnerable lives to some extent, with domestic abuse, sexual abuse, that kind of thing. These vulnerable lives were all people with intellectual disabilities. And the book comes from those people, those proteges of their advocates, So advocates and protégés. Advocates put this book together with stories of these people.
Mm.
So writing their stories for them, working with them to write their stories.
Yeah. Mm.
And there's just some gorgeous little stories in here. Mm. Just beautiful things. And if you're living a happy, happy life, nothing ever goes wrong, then it's not your world. But the real world is made up of many things. And this book contains many of those real world stories. And this is an incredible thing. And hey, a foreword by Julian Burnside. How wonderful would that be? Forget that. Mm. Yes. So I really enjoyed that book. And another book I have here, which I've just bought from my favourite bookshop, which is in Gall Books, which is very close to where we are now, Raymond Gaita and A Common Humanity. I've been playing around with philosophy and things like that for quite some time now, pretending. Am I a philosopher? Am I a full of myselfer? Yeah. Who knows? I'm trying to be a philosopher, and I'm hoping this book will help me. And these are gifts to myself because I deserve it. Okay, Marilyn, your turn.
Well, in our family, it was a tradition when the kids were at university and straight after university, before they got jobs, we didn't have a lot of money at Christmas, was that we would buy each other secondhand books for Christmas presents. And it was great because we would get two or three books in the place of maybe one.
Yes.
And it was something that the family all enjoyed, was hunting through the secondhand shops and the secondhand bookshops and finding something suitable. A good way to do things.
It is. Books have always been, growing up, they were part of Christmas. I remember the thrill of getting, the latest, the next thing, the Blight and famous five for Christmas.
We always got books for Christmas when we were young. Yes.
So we've carried that on with the boys, always given them lots of books.
Yep.
So, there has to be books under the tree. But these days, quite often just notice by ourselves books and then swap over. So I give him my pile of books. I've got a couple I want to get for Angus. Came out this year, like a graphic novel of the Communist Manifesto.
Oh, really?
And I really want to get that for Angus.
Is there such a thing?
There is. So I've got, had that tab open on my laptop for months. I've got to remember this for Christmas for Angus. I think he'll love it.
I've seen cartoon books of the Bible, but never that manifesto.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Patrick wanted books, so he gave us a big list, but he also wanted a new Apple iPad, but one that comes with a pen for artwork.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And so we're getting that. I think that's the entire budget plus.
Yes. Okay, because books,
mm-hmm.
you settle down with a book and you're with a friend.
Well, I have a rule that between Christmas and New Year, I read a novel. That's my fiction reading, because I don't get a lot of time through the year to read novels. I tend to read non-fiction all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But Christmas, New Year's when I read novel.
Okay.
And it's my week. I do not do anything. I read. That's my reading week. So that's been a rule I've had since I was a kid. Yeah. I think I started that when I was a kid.
I'm hoping that this Christmas period could lead to more of my novel being written, because I saw something. I was with my husband. We're driving into Gawler and home again. And there was lots and lots of police people there, and there were CFS vehicles there. I think, what on earth is that? And then on my way here back to Gawler, there was only one police officer there by then. All the CFS people went. I thought, I'll be brave. I'll ask him.
Yeah.
It was not a meth lab being broken up. So that's that story gone. But I'm also thinking, the main character in my book, maybe it was the meth lab.
Mm.
Maybe. Yeah. So you take things and you use them, what you do. Okay, so novels, writing them, reading them, all good things.
Yes. I don't read nearly enough novels, and that's a problem because I'm spending so much time writing them. I don't have time to read them. And you need to do both. When you're writing, you do need to be able to read. Yes. So really important.
I'm the opposite. I read too much and write too less.
Meant to bring a book to read something, but I forgot as I rushed out the door.
I'll read a bit from Julian Burnside. He wrote the foreword for this book.
Yeah.
Here we go. It is easy to think that a concern for human rights needs to focus on Indigenous rights or refugee rights or disability rights. And while it is true that those groups suffer from neglect of their human rights, but it is easy to forget that every person who is not treated as fully human will suffer as a result. And there are lots of people in our society who live at the margins, not through any fault of their own and not because they are part of a particular disadvantaged group, people who have fallen through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
And this book is stories from the people who might have fallen through the cracks unless there was...
Yes, I have something that I wrote a while ago. It's just a sort of funny little piece. We were given the prompt, what if we could walk up walls and ceilings. What if we could walk up walls and ceilings? What an entertaining thought. Ladies would need to wear suitable attire, of course, and Scotsmen with kilt might like to stay on the ground. For short people, it would be a blessing. Hanging pictures, changing light globes would be a breeze, and you could have changed the light globes standing on your head even. The downside would be footprints everywhere, and the time taken to clean a room would be increased fivefold. Taking children supermarket shopping would be fun. Go play Chasey on the ceiling while Mummy does her shopping. Jason, just hand me down that jar of coffee off the top shelf. No, don't throw it. You might miss the trolley and it smashes on the floor. Just give it to me. Jason, I wish you would listen and do what Mummy says. Sorry, Mum. Say sorry to the lady who has to clean it up. A few weeks later, children not permitted on ceiling signs are plastered all over the supermarket. Leaving a crowded room could be hastened by walking on the ceiling and down the wall to the door. Finding someone in a crowded hall could be made easier by searching for them whilst halfway up the wall or on the ceiling, and could bring new meaning to the phrase, "I just dropped in to see you," as you neatly somersault midair and land at their feet. Parliamentarians could cross the ceiling instead of the floor to vote. In an emergency, the number of people in the lift could be doubled as half stand on the ceiling. In church, pastors could pace the ceiling while they preach and check that the youth actually are looking at the Bible on their phones and not Facebook. Climbing the walls, meaning I am so frustrated and stressed, is another phrase to take on new meaning as teachers, for example, climb walls to blue tack posters and paintings and hang cardboard mobiles from the ceiling.
Fine words, thank you.
Yes, definitely be a benefit for supermarket shopping. Save all that climbing over the shelves. I always check to make sure there's no managerial around because I've been told off in the past for doing it.
Oh, really?
Insurance, darling, insurance. Yes, have to think of insurance.
Well, when you're short, sometimes you have to climb on the shelves, don't you?
Yes.
If there's no one around to assist.
Word of the day, and I was in a mad rush, so I picked up the little calendar that Marilyn gave me last Christmas, and the first word that I found from November was gasconade, and I thought that was wonderful.
Gasconade?
Gasconade. It means extravagant boasting. It's a 17th century term, mid-17th century, and it's from the French gasconneur, and it comes from to talk like a Gascon, to brag. So Gascony is an area. Gascons, people from Gascony, which is a Basque area in the southwest of France where they speak a Basque dialect. And I don't know why they must. The French must have a thing that Gascons are boastful. Possibly because D'Artagnan, of the Three Musketeers fame, is from Gascony. D'Artagnan was a real person that Dumas based his character on, but his character's a fictionalisation of a real person. It's where the reputation of Gascons as being boastful comes from, or why I wasn't able to find out why that was.
Say gas bag, do we mean someone who just talks a lot, or someone who boasts a lot?
Talks a lot.
But a lot of what they're talking about is themselves. Instead of anything.
Oh, no, it can be just gossip. A gas bag can be someone that gossips.
Yeah, but gossip actually becomes what they think about things.
Well, it's always
about what they think rather than what everybody else thinks. So, it can be a bit of a...
So, gas canade.
I thought that was...
It's a lovely word. Sounds great.
Listener's challenge. Any ideas? I think we did Christmas in Gawler last year. So, maybe we could do Christmas decorations in Gawler or Christmas decorations.
Just Christmas decorations. Tell us stories of Christmas decorations from your past or your current life.
Yes. Yep.
Because, you know, setting up the Christmas tree because Santa has arrived in Adelaide now.
I put my first two Christmas decorations up yesterday. I put the Christmas caps on the metal dialects.
So they're ready. Those dialects
those
are so
dialects
ready.
Are ready.
We'll be.
Exterminate.
I love putting up Christmas decorations.
Yeah, I rather enjoy it too.
The weather's been so dismal, I haven't felt like it till today.
It's a gorgeous day today, though.
It's the first day that I felt like doing it.
I was in Malala the other day and they've got lights up looking lovely.
Mm,
I've got different ideas with Christmas. So I always have someone in my family dies. Not always. It seems that if people die in Christmas time, it just seems more tragic.
Yes, it does.
Okay, we'll wrap it up there.
Okay, thank you, everybody. We'll be back another time.
Yes, in the new year. It'll be new year, our next recording.
Excellent.
Yep, so enjoy Christmas.
Happy Christmas all.
Read lots of books.
Indeed. Happy reading.